Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FCB's 71st annual convention. This is our fourth hybrid convention. This is the employment committee. I'm going to do a couple of things here, and then we're going to turn it over to Miss Barbara Brown, who has a wonderful program for you. On Zoom, we have hosts. Marianne is our host, and Joyce is our moderator. I'm sorry, monitor, and Cecily is our, she opened the room so we could get started. And Cecily, we appreciate that. This is definitely a combined effort. ACB Media is wonderful. They're doing both of our Zoom rooms this year, and it takes a lot of people to make this happen. So we want to say thank you to the leader, Rick Morin, and other people that are doing this. And you will see throughout the day different hosts, different monitors, and different, all the people that you're going to see on the team. So we also want to thank, in our room is John Richards, and John is manning the board that will control Zoom. And also, when the convention is over, he will do all of the podcasting. And Miss Barbara, you are on.
Good morning, all in attendance. We have a wonderful program for you this morning. We have four panelists. Two will be on Zoom and two are here in person. So I will start by introducing them. The two that are on Zoom are Natalie Holden. She's from Disability Rights of Florida, and Daniel O'Connor. He's from Division of Blind Services, Jacksonville. And in person, we have Ms. Kara Tucker. She's with the Mayor's Disability Office. She's the ADA Administrator for the City of Jacksonville. And we have Mr. Jose Morales, who gave us such a wonderful presentation last year at our convention. But he's with the Center for Independent Living here in Jacksonville. So Daniel had important appointments this morning. So we will wait. If he shows up, we'll get him on.
You bet.
If not, we will start with Natalie since she's on Zoom.
Hi, I am Natalie Alden, and I'm from Disability Rights Florida. I also have a disability myself, and I also serve on the Mayor's Disability Council. I know that Barbara asked me to talk today about reasonable accommodations. And I know that everybody has that kind of angst when it comes to what do I need to disclose, when do I need to disclose it. And when you're thinking about your employers, a lot of times you're going to be thinking about, because I know the spectrum of visual impairments might be something that's more noticeable than others. And so disclosing is really going to be something personal as to when you want to tell an employer that you may need accommodations. I would suggest asking for the accommodations, when you need them, kind of go in a process of, hey, if I'm going through the application process, do I need an accommodation? Was the website accessible? And then when you actually go and you get the interview, during the first interview, I would not probably say, oh, and hey, by the way, I'm going to need all of these things when I go to work for you. I would simply let them know what your capabilities are, what you do, and try to get through the interview in that way so that you're just kind of not discussing the reasonable accommodations until you know that the employer is truly interested in hiring you. And then once you get that offer of employment, that's when you can go ahead and ask for those reasonable accommodations that you may need. One of the things that you're going to do with your employer is that when you're letting them know that I need X as a reasonable accommodation, and I'm going to use the most common one for most of my friends that have visual impairments, and that's JAWS, using JAWS on a computer. You might find that an employer says, hey, well, we have this other software, and you may not feel comfortable using that other software, but you have to remember that as far as what the law has, you would probably need to go ahead and try what they're giving you as that reasonable accommodation. If it doesn't work, and I would probably give it, a week that you really try to use whatever software they have. if you find that you're not able to do the essential functions of the job with whatever it is that they're supplying you, that's when I would make sure in writing to tell your employer, hey, I've tried this particular software that you said would be able to accommodate me. It is not accommodating me. I am requesting again to get JAWS because I know that that works for me. And by putting it in writing and giving it to your employer, you have now created this better paper trail so that if for some reason they decide that, oh, well, we don't want to buy this, we don't want to do that, and they turn around and try to dismiss you, then you have something in writing saying, hey, I requested this, they did not accommodate me, and that is what resulted in them retaliating against me and me losing my employment. So as far as what the employer is having to do, they can request medical documentation if needed. It should be if your disability is very seen, if they can actually know, hey, yes, this person has a disability, then they shouldn't be requesting that additional documentation because it is very apparent that you have that type of disability. I know that there are a lot of people when you are doing reasonable accommodations, it's kind of like you kind of feel, well, hey, I don't want to, I'm really just happy to have this job. I'm really happy to, you know, just be employed. You need to empower yourself because you, what you don't want happening is you being in your job and not being able to meet your full potential in the job and then getting a performance evaluation where the employer is turning around and saying, hey, you know, Natalie, you just really didn't perform well this month or last month or this quarter. And if I know the reason why I didn't perform well is simply because I didn't have the correct accommodations, then that was on me, not on my employer. So make sure that you really are your own CEO as far as this, and you really make sure that you are having that good communication with your HR. If you feel like you're talking to a direct manager and they're really not understanding, you know, what you're asking for, or you feel like they're being somewhat discriminatory towards your disability, go to your HR manager and make sure that you are going through them and requesting the accommodations directly with HR. You know, you can circumvent your manager if your manager's not being accommodating. I also want to say, if you do go through your direct manager and they are accommodating you and it's really working out great, get those accommodations in writing, because if you end up with a new manager in the future, that manager may not think, you know, oh, well, there was this agreement between me and my old manager, and that is what made it where I was able to do my job. So make sure it's in writing, because then that'll give you the longevity of your job. And I think that's my 10 minutes. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay, if no one has any questions, thank you very much, Natalie. And I enjoyed your presentation. I learned several things on there. But again, I thank you. And we will proceed so that the other two that are in person will be able to have equal time. So I guess the first one we would do would be Ms. Kara Tucker with the City of Jacksonville ADA Administrator.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. So as you said, I'm Kara Tucker. I'm the Chief of Disabled Services and ADA Coordinator for the City of Jacksonville. So one of the major parts of my job is helping the city employees get their accommodations as they go through the application process or once they go through the onboarding process to help them if they need accommodations for any of the city jobs. So with our process, we go to a medical, they'll submit it to the medical desk. They can go on our portal, get the information, call me, submit it to the medical desk. It all stays confidential, and then we'll put a packet together to send over to the supervisor to review it and provide feedback from there. And then the department provides the accommodations accordingly. So that's how that works. Usually when I'm doing the hiring process for like my staff, I've had staff with varying disabilities in our office and our disabled services division. And we make the accommodation, but we also, like Natalie said, make sure that it is in writing. So in case if anything does change with administrations or anything, that those accommodations are still in place. And I know recently with all of our new hires with this new administration, we do get questions during the new hire orientation. What about this? What, how do I get a different chair? So that started to come out where individuals are starting to disclose there, but you don't have to disclose in front of everybody during the orientation. You can do that during your onboarding process on an individual basis, and we keep it confidential. And that's for all the different city jobs. Some of the things that we look at through the interview process, try to do your best, dress for success. And if you don't understand the question, we can always repeat it. For individuals that we, there's different software and different things that you can use, different, computer screens, different keyboards, all different technology. There's so many different technologies out there for all the different disabilities that you want to make sure that you can try them out and see what works best for you so you can succeed in the job. So like, I walk with a walker, so mine would be more mobility device, but I also like to have sometimes with the computer when you're researching different legislation and different things, it's always good to have it read to you as well, because then if you're a more auditory learner, so knowing how you learn best and be able to do all of the major functions of the job, the essential functions of the job are the most important. So, and being your own self-advocate as well. With that, do you have any questions, or I can talk a little bit more about the hiring process and the different questions? So I know when I'm doing the interviews, we usually have myself, the division manager, and somebody from HR, and we sit around and do like the round robin questions. If they don't understand the question, we can always ask it again and, try your best to answer it. And even if you don't exactly understand it at first, just try to be your best and have your personality shine through. And you can always, some of the positions are definitely teachable. So just in case if you don't have all the skills, we can teach it to you while you're there as well. And technology changes, so that's always good to stay on top of all of that. And I know sometimes with some positions, you have to test. So if you, even like when we were in school, you can apply for additional timing on the test and additional study time as well, or to be able to test independently. Those are some of the other accommodations I've seen for some of the positions as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jose.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. How y'all? Hopefully everybody's doing great. So I second everything my colleagues here have said about ADA accommodations and requesting and those kind of things. But I'm going to talk a little bit from the beginning, the hardest part for, I know this community, because I'm part of the community, I'm blind myself too, is getting that first opportunity, is really applying for a job, finding that field that you're going to go into and being able to get an interview. And then once you get the interview, some type of connection after that. So I'm going to talk about a few tips and a few things. I'm from the Center for Independence. I'm the ADA manager there, but really I do a bunch of hats, and that's because when I started in a completely different, I started from the bottom pretty much. I had a college degree and all that kind of stuff, but what you find out when coming out of college or coming out of anywhere when you're blind is sometimes you got to do things a little the harder way to make yourself an inroad. So a lot of it is networking. So I'm going to talk a lot about that. Try to really tap into places, agencies, organizations, businesses that you know, friends, events like this one. That's one thing that really, really opened myself to, one, prepare for an interview, because let's face it, as blind people, we have to develop really good social skills. And that's what's really going to overcome some of the barriers that may come during the interview process or during an application process. So a lot of social skills, a lot of networking, a lot of who you know, a lot of trying to find out who, what agencies or businesses are doing something alongside what your career field view is. So at the Center for Independence, for example, it's pretty easy. More than 65% of our staff have a disability. So when people come in, or and apply for an opening, it is pretty common, the common rule that we're going to get, you know, people with disabilities applying. So it's not that big of a deal. But when you go out to major corporations, let's say Amazon, I don't know, anything, FIS, whatever corporation there is, or when you're going to apply to an industry that is not familiar with blind people, then a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of the education and a lot of the bar you're going to set, because most people have preconceived notions and most people have biases. And yeah, there's the law. So there's all the great tips you can use about disclosure that you've been given. But at the end, you're going to rely on your own personal, let's say, advocacy and your own personal standards to be able to change those minds and to be able to get those opportunities. I know that, again, if you are able to find out about the business before you go to the, if you get the appointment, like the interview, try to go on the website, try to figure out what the company's values are, what is that company's vision, what is the company's impact in the community. And if you go with that kind of stuff, that mindset of what the company is about, then you already have some talking points, some bullet points to talk about during your interview. Also, try to identify, if you can at all, who are any of the people that work in that organization. I want to say name drop, but really what you want to do is really connect with people that already work in there, so they don't feel that you're, if you're able to, sometimes you're not, but if you're able to, you know, prepare to that point where you can find out something about someone that works there, or somebody, or maybe you know somebody that, you know somebody that works there, or maybe you are able to find something about your interviewer. Maybe it's a small company and you're able to do enough research where you find a little fact, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, any of those websites, so you can go and look at something, some detail about that person, and you can make that connection during the interview. I think it's very valuable for us, because then at the interview, at least for me, I have to ask for an accommodation, especially if they're going to give me some type of paperwork. So I have to disclose quite, let's say, fast. I kind of have to disclose my disability, even though when they see me with a cane, it's pretty obvious, right? Sometimes I hide my cane. So anyway, disclosure for me, it's very personal decision. But for me, at least for the interview process, like Natalie was saying, don't talk about what you're going to need for work. That's later on once you get employed. But when you get to the interview, there is some things that sometimes I struggle, or even during the application process, there's applications that right off the bat ask you if you have a driver's license. So the second thing I do is follow up with somebody in that company or with the HR department. Hey, they asked me this. I'm sure that that's not going against me, but can I do a follow-up? Can you guys make sure that my application was received? Because those AI programs may automatically throw me out. You don't know. I mean, you don't know how their HR department really works. So you want to follow up. Plus, that shows that you are very persistent and that you are also very motivated to get that position. I do a little bit of, let's say, Cuban bribing. So flowers, if I know the HR person, or a chocolate or something like that, like a week after. So you don't want to do it very persistently either, where you're doing it every day. And dress like you, a lot of it, honestly, you're going to be denied many times when you start looking for a job. And I did, believe me, I got denied many times. But I think what the main key is, whether you're going to work in a sector that is going to be friendly to disabilities or not, is your mindset. If your mindset is positive, if you are dressing to success, meaning you feel good about yourself, that's the reason, the main reason you dress for success. Yeah, because the first 5 seconds of somebody seeing you, for visual people, it's important. But the most important thing is for you to feel successful, for you to feel like you own that position you're applying for. So whether that is dressing for yourself, whether that's maybe that day, you spend an extra $3 and you're going on Uber that you like better, you know, like a little luxury Uber or something like that. I don't know. Whatever makes you go with your flow, that you're going to feel more comfortable, and that it's your own house when you're going in there. You want to feel that you know your stuff, that you know the company you're applying for, and that you feel that you are going to be an ace for that company and an asset. And that's how you want to go into the interview process. And then in the interview process, you want to make sure that you do some preps. So some questions, right? So get a friend get a colleague, or, I mean, somebody you know, or get some, or come to a place like this and maybe at the exhibit hall, say, hey, can you give me some, here's some interview questions. Do you want to, can you practice with me? Because interview process, questions can be a little tricky. They're trying to identify your traits, but also they're trying to identify your problem solving on the spot. So if you practice those ahead of time and you don't, you know, stutter and you try to be on point with how you, you know, on what your vision is and what you are as a, what values you bring as a person, that really helps too. I think the interview process is what evens things out from the applicant process. So any questions so far about any of those things? I can go in depth into any of that, but I just wanted to hear from you guys. You guys kind of quiet this morning.
Natalie Alden has her hand raised, and also Dan O'Connor has arrived.
I just wanted to jump on one of the things that Jose said, and I can tell you from when I do interviews for people, you know, everything Jose just said is so important. Know that company, know who you're applying for, and know what the job is, because one of the questions we always ask in our interviews is, what do you think, you know, whatever job it is that you're doing, what do you think their job duties are? What are you expecting that this position, what do you think you're going to be doing in it? And you should be able to easily say, you know, from when you looked at the, you know, the job requirements, the job duties, pick out the ones that you know you're going to be most successful at and make sure you're mentioning those. And one of the other questions that comes up quite often is, what is your greatest strength? What is your greatest weakness? Really think about those questions so that you know right off the bat the greatest answers that you can give them to let them know how you're going to be able to adapt to changes on the job, how you're going to be able to be successful. And I do say before Dan speaks that you know, I know a lot of people are kind of skittish about work when it comes to the, if they're receiving benefits, but you can get a benefit analysis to know you're always going to be better off working than just staying on benefits.
Okay, Dan O'Connor, if you're on Zoom, we can hear your information at this point.
Okay, good. I'm sorry for being late. I was having difficulties getting in with Zoom, so I'm really sorry about that. But I did catch part of what Jose was saying, and Natalie, I totally agree with the points that they're making. And I'm with Division Blind Services. For those that don't know, I'm the district administrator here locally. Our agency tries to support clients as best they can to be prepared for employment. But yeah, even when I'm interviewing for jobs here, I'm amazed at how many people don't know really much of anything about our agency, much less the position they're applying for. And so, you know, definitely research that. It's not that difficult to even look at the website of the employer that you're applying for. And honestly, I think it's okay to even give a call to the employers just to find out some things about the job. You know, they can probably tell you at least some things. And definitely do a dry run on knowing where the location would be. It's just to be prepared. I think a lot of times people are uncertain about when to disclose even about their disability. You know, the ADA doesn't have any set criteria on that, but my general feeling is it's better to be proactive than not, especially if it's something that's obvious where you're going to come into the interview. You don't want to have something that's going to be a surprise to people. So, you know, when you're called for an interview, it's probably a good idea to let them know even going into the interview when you're asked to come in for an interview. And then just be open about that. I think the more confident you are about focusing on what you're able to do, that you are able to do the essential functions of the job, because that's all they really care about, with or without accommodations. And if you can explain kind of you know, confidently what kind of accommodations you already use, whether it's a screen reader or enlargement software, other types of technology or equipment. That's going to help the employer feel more confident in hiring you. I mean, don't have the disability be the focus, but give assurances that it's not an issue, I guess. And then the other thing is just, you know, especially at the point at which you would have offered that you're hired for the position, then more formally, I think is a good time then to find out more about their process for accommodations. Because I think sometimes even our clients are afraid to really engage with the employer about that. You know, it's okay to indicate then if you are a client of DBS, and that certainly we're going to support where we can, where the employer is not able to. But don't just, you know, because DBS requires that engagement occur, and that there would be something documented that the employer is not able to provide, you know, that something is necessary, but that they're not able to provide it. Then we step in and we can help if there's not already equipment that you would have for the job. Hope that helps. I mean, I know this is, you know, there's only so much time to go into things, but if there's anything else you'd like me to add, I can certainly say more.
Okay, we've had four wonderful presentations this morning. Are there any questions that anyone in the room would like to maybe hear the interviewer ask them at the interview? Maybe something that they just feel like was missing from this morning's presentation. Well, I must say that our panelists, I really thank them, because this is the first time that I've been able to interact with so many of the graduates from Jacksonville University of North Florida.
Barbara, could I chime in just another kind of thought I have regarding like interview questions. The other thing I think that people struggle with is often one of the last questions is usually, why should we hire you? And that's kind of what I like to think of as the money question, where you should kind of, you know, really, you're selling yourself. And so it shouldn't be just a lot of fluff. You know, I'll be dedicated, I'll be a hard worker. But have some really tangible things that you would bring to the position with your previous experience, what your skill set is, why you would be a great addition to the employer. And so I think sometimes that is not well thought out enough, and that is an integral question. And then the other thing is, utilize some other resources that are out there. Career Source is an underutilized resource, and they do training on interviewing, and they'll even give some guidance, some feedback with mock interviews. I know a lot of other entities can assist with that. So there is a lot of resources that are out there. I even saw just yesterday, there's some free trainings from APH with Career Connect. So even with, you know, and I'm sure even Florida Council of the Blind or ACB on their website, they probably have some good resources. There's resources out there, even just doing online searches for how to answer interview questions for certain types of jobs. Anyway, that's just my final thoughts regarding that.
Yeah, just to follow up on what Dan was just saying, resources are essential. First of all, like he was saying, you are a salesperson for yourself, and you have to sell yourself. So nobody's going to do it better than you, no matter who you look for. I've like the Center for Independence, not right now, but we even used to have an employment department with job coaches, and they were amazing. But at the same time, I'm telling you, nobody is going to sell yourself, and nobody's going to look harder than yourself. So have that as when I was coming, sometimes when you're younger and you know, you maybe you have the wrong impression that things are just going to happen. you really have to be a salesperson for yourself and go out there and get it. Like you're selling that car and it's your car and you have to get, and you have to sell it in order to get it off the lot. It's that simple. With that though, there is a lot of resources that you can use for your benefit. Besides the ones that Dan mentioned, you can also use the FAST program, which is the Florida Assistive Technology program, which means that when you do get that job interview and you, once you start progressing in that process and you think you have the job, you can try out technologies even at home or at work for free. So you can order a piece of device or technology, try it out for a month, and you can check out. That's an easy and really smart way to ease the employer too, of you getting technology for free for a month and trying out what's going to work best for you. So that's a really good one. Natalie mentioned it about incentives planning, very important to get to work. So call them. If you do get benefits and you're going to go fully employed, they, obviously the best thing is to be employed, but you have to know how that's going to impact your finances and especially your healthcare. So you have to look into that and have a plan. And then also there's a lot of places that would write resumes for you and a lot of job fairs you can go to and maybe utilize DBS and all the places that can help you navigate through those. But for sure, use resources, but never forget. And this is a hard lesson I had to learn. There's no better salesperson. There's going to be nobody looking better than yourself.
And like Jose said, with the different job fairs and different things, some of them will do hiring on the spot. So if you go in and you don't have to do, you can go the job fair. It can be for any type of company. They'll do hiring on the spot. So that could be less intrusive and having to prepare. If you feel really excited that day and you're like, I'm going to go talk to these companies and do your research, but ahead of time, and also working with Division of Blind Services, Vocational Rehab, Career Source, any of those entities as well, they're all out there.
This is Dan O'Connor again, too. I don't know if it was mentioned before. Another great resource is the Job Accommodation Network, and their website's just askjan.org. They have a lot of resources on all different disabilities, and they also can give advisement if you reach out to them by phone or email. They have guidance on how to request accommodations. And if employers are unsure, there's information there for both the person with the disability as well as the employer. And sometimes, there can be engagement with both entities to, because sometimes even the employers are unsure about how to go about things. So sometimes it's good to kind of have that in mind, too, and how you can give reassurance to the employer.
This is Carrie. Yes, Dan, I do agree with that. And I do use that resource all the time. And it has all the different disabilities by alphabetical order. And when you go on there, it has, possible limitations and possible remedies. So as a self-advocate too, you can go on there and go, okay, well, these are some of the different medical things I have. If it's vision, different things that that you can look forward to see what would work for you as well.
Okay, I want to thank my committee for some of their wonderful suggestions about the questions, things that they would like to have asked of them on an interview. So we pulled them together to make a program that would be called Mastering Interviewing. And I think with all the information that we've gotten this morning, that we can be our own advocates and have some good tools to use, because we know some of the things we can expect on an interview and some of the things that we need to take for the interview. And all I can say is I truly thank the panel, because I've worked with some of them over the years, and with their good insight and their ability to be able to answer questions and point you in the right direction. I did an internship with the Center for Independent Living. That was long before Jose was there. But Jose also did one with the city of Jacksonville before Kari was there. Okay. And she did one also, Sarah did. But it's just amazing how in the city of Jacksonville, most people are not aware of all the resources they can go to. But if you open up your mouth and talk loud enough and be your own advocate, somehow one of these groups will get it, because I know with them, the place that I applied for work at, the first place in Jacksonville that I applied, they told me I needed to go to blind services. So we explained why we were on their door and not at blind services. At some point in time, blind service will help you with the tools you need so that you can go out and advocate for yourself. And I will honestly tell you, 23 years later, I'm still on that job. And that's the longest job I've ever held, because before, I held one for 3 years, another one for 3 years. But this one is 3 years, but add a two to it, or subtract a two, any way you want to put the two in front of it. So it's 23 years, and I'm thankful for that. And so if no one has any questions, okay, if the committee is in here, I know we don't have all our committee members because Wanda Stokely, she's out in the exhibit hall. So are there any other committee members in the room that would like to introduce themselves? Julian Clement? Okay. We'll see you later tonight. Okay. Now, anyone else in here? This room was hard to find because it put one room on the program, but it wasn't that room. So we had to troll around in the hallway until we could find someone to find this room. Yeah. And so it's amazing to know that if I was going to be late getting in here, that two of the panelists would be late, so we knew the meeting couldn't start without us. So, yes. But now, are you sure there's no other questions? Because, you know, we want to answer all the questions about interviewing, because it's very, very important. Because interviews, they change from, I guess, you might, not year to year, but from time to time, they do change. So I have no idea what the time frame is.
Jason Goldberg has his hand raised.
Jason Goldfield?
Goldfield, yeah, sorry. I apologize.
So thank you, Barbara, for his presentation. It was very informative.
Okay. Were there three other committee members, so they probably couldn't find the room either.
Also on our website for jacksada.com, we do have a resource guide that's useful for everything. It has a lot of state, local, and national resources, and there is an employment section in there as well. And you can find the accessible PDF in large print and regular print on our website, jacksada.com, and then directory for persons with disabilities.
Okay, so if there are no questions, I guess we're adjourned.